is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It's Wednesday morning in Brevard County, and we want to welcome you to 91.5 FM WMIE. Hi, my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast this morning. We want to thank you for tuning in. We are going through the Sermon on the Mount. We've been parked here on Deliver Us from Evil for quite some time, and today we're going to be talking about a very key ingredient in our deliverance, and that is our ability to trust in God. And so we're going to be in Psalm 22 today, if you want to go ahead and turn there and get prepared. But we want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you need any electrical issues remedied. You know, I'm not big on trying to fix electrical issues by myself. I've been zapped too many times, and so if I've got something minor that needs to be done, like a light switch, I'll pretty much kill the power to the whole building if I have to, just to make sure. But you know, there are some things that you need professionals to come and take care of for you. And the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, whether it's air conditioning or whether it is electrical, they can help take care of that for you. They'll do it in a professional manner. They will get you up and running, and you will not have the school of hard knocks lessons that's the only way they learn by. And so what I have discovered is that in many cases, getting somebody to come out and take care of a problem in a profession that does that for a living doesn't cost me much more than what it would have if I had tried to take care of it myself. So if you have electrical issues or AC issues, the folks that you can call anywhere in Brevard County for any type of system that you might have, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. Give them a call, and they will come and get you fixed right up. So tonight is Bible study night at Merritt Assembly of God. We got our youth, and they meet in the fellowship hall at 7 o'clock. We've got our adult Bible study going on in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock, and we would love to have you come and be a part of that. So let's get to Psalm 22 today. Psalm 22, we'll cover some ground today in this, and there's some things I want to share with you about deliverance, about trust, and this is a fantastic chapter. A lot of people only know of Psalm 23 whenever that you start talking about the book of Psalms, but Psalm 22 is a fantastic passage of scripture. It has messianic applications in that there are portions of this that refer to Jesus. They were prophetic. When Jesus was on the cross, he fulfilled those on the cross. But there are other aspects that are applicable to our life as well. And so don't just look at this and say, oh, well, that only pertains to Jesus. You need to look at this and realize that this was birthed in the life of David before it was fulfilled in Jesus on the cross. So let's look at Psalm 22 today. We'll read through verse number 11, I suppose, today. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near me, for there is none to help. We'll pause the reading there. And so I want to begin today in verse number 4, where David writes, our fathers trusted in you. As we move through this Psalm, Psalm 22, you are going to find that there are generations that are represented, and that there's things that have taken place in a historical context. There are things that are taking place in a current context in David's life. And then there is a future context, something that is going to transpire in the days ahead because of the victory that God gives to us in our current adversity. I was spending some time thinking and praying yesterday afternoon, and I realized my testimony is not what the devil does to me. That is not what my testimony is. That is not what your testimony. Your testimony is not the sickness that you're going through or any of that sort of stuff. It is not every fiery dart that the enemy fires your way. It is not every weapon that he has formed against you. None of that is your testimony. Your testimony is what God does for you. It is the fact that he forgives our sins, that he redeems our life from the pit, that he strengthens us, that he fortifies us, that he comes to our rescue, that he empowers us so that we are able to triumph over all the enemy. I think that it is time that we recontextualized our testimony and stop focusing on the magnitude of the problem and lift our eyes up, fix our eyes on the magnitude and the greatness of our God. So if something happens that I don't understand, I'm not going to glamorize the devil. I'm going to say, man, I tell you what, you just have no idea what God is getting ready to do in this situation. It is going to be fantastic. And so it says here, our fathers trusted in you. Too many times in our modern society, we fail to appreciate the steps of faith that others have taken in the past. You know, there's a, just in my situation, in my family, there's four generations. There's the generation above me, my generation, my kids, and now my grandkids. Up until a couple of years ago, there was another generation that was in there. There was a fifth generation. And I remember sitting and having conversations with my grandmother, and I've been privileged to actually know not only my grandmother, but my great-grandmother, and even knew some great-greats in there. You know, I was very young when they passed away, but I still remember the encounters that I have with them. Now, many of those times they were pretty well infirmed, and there wasn't a whole lot that I could really learn from them at that point in time. But I remember having a conversation with my grandmother when she was getting ready to turn 100. And she shared some fascinating stories, things that had gone on. And if you pay attention instead of just bury your nose in electronics as you're traveling with those who've gone before you, they will from time to time reveal some magnificent things that took place. I remember driving down the road with my father, and don't remember driving that road very often. And he said, "That's the house I was born in right there." I said, "What?" And he said, "Yeah, I wasn't born in a hospital. I was born in a house. That's the house right there that I was born in." And, you know, things have changed an awful lot. But the one thing that never changes, it doesn't matter, you know, whether it was 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, or whether, you know, it's 10 years from now, there is one thing that is absolutely important, and that is every individual has got to come to that place where they put their faith and trust in the Lord God Almighty. I want to challenge you. The next time you have an opportunity, why don't you ask someone that's a little more seasoned than you are, got a few more birthdays under their belt. Say, "Tell me about your journey with God. How did you learn come to trust Him?" Now, for people who know me, they get to hear much of my story through the radio program and through my preaching and stuff like that. But, you know, everybody has those opportunities where you've got to put your faith and trust in God. So this word trust, it shows up here three times in two verses. It says, "Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed." It shows up again in verse number 8. "He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." It shows up again in verse number 9. "You made me trust you while on my mother's breast." Here he says, there were generations that went before us, and they trusted in you. The Bible says some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will put our trust in the Lord our God. We're supposed to not partially trust God or occasionally trust God, but we're supposed to trust in the Lord our God with all our heart. Okay, turn over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3. Psalms is 150 chapters, so you might have to turn quite a few pages. Proverbs is the next book there. Just think of it, David and then Solomon. That's David wrote the bulk of Psalms, and Solomon wrote Proverbs. Verse number 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Now, that concept of lean not on your own understanding, we might not understand that until you realize that when you start trying to figure out what does this word trust mean, the Amplified Bible puts it this way: they leaned on you, they relied on you, and they were confident in you. And so we see that we can't trust in when horses, you can't trust in your cars, you can't trust in your military might. The Bible is full of more powerful armies being defeated by inferior opponents because of either a strategic error or a tactical error or just some freak circumstance that came up. So we cannot trust in that. We can't trust in our economics. We can't trust in our own wisdom. We have to trust in the Lord. And that means that we lean on him. Okay. What is your inclination towards God? Is it to fight him, to run away from him, or is it to lean into him? I watched a little bit of a story on Kobe Bryant after he had passed away and his daughter passed away in that helicopter crash. And one thing I noticed as he was teaching his daughter how to play basketball was that much of his success came not because he was intimidated by his enemy, but because he leaned into the enemy. It created some distance, and then he was able to get his shot off. I want you to understand that we need to be leaning into God. It's not to create space between us and God. It is where our strength is. It is our pathway to success. How we lean is either going to make us or break us. I remember seeing, you know, the story on the Leaning Tower of Dallas, because they had a building they were trying to implode, and it was so fortified that they had to come along. I think they tried three times and were unsuccessful, and I think the fourth time they finally were able to get it down on the ground, because there was some strength in that building that was more than what the engineers expected to find. When we lean into God, and this is specifically talking about our fathers, those who've gone before us, when they leaned into God, they found him to be a reliable source. They found him to be a deliverer, because that's what we're going to talk about here, is their deliverance. They trusted in you. They relied upon you. They were confident in God, not arrogant in God. There is a great deal of difference between arrogance and confidence. If we're going to boast, we need to be able to boast in the Lord. Okay? That doesn't mean that we go out and set aside the wisdom of God and do all sorts of foolish and reckless things because, oh, well, God's just going to, he will come to my rescue. Okay? We don't go out and deliberately put ourselves into harm's way. We do take steps of faith. We advance the kingdom of God, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Not because of who we are, but because of who God is. And so every once in a while, I get involved in a conversation and I hear somebody say something, and it's like, you know, there's a God factor that is missing in that situation. And as long as we are children of the Most High God, we need to realize that there's a God factor, and God makes all the difference. So those who've gone before us only were successful, only existed. They triumphed over potential catastrophes in their life to the point that we were able to come along in the timeline. They trusted in God. They relied upon him. They were confident in him. And it said they trusted and you delivered them. You delivered them. Okay. Now, before we get, okay, so we see the beginning. They trusted in you and they delivered in you. But then verse number 5 indicates to us that there was an intermediate stage in between there, and that is they cried to you and were delivered. That is a prayer. If you look in David's heart, or in David's response to his dilemma, in verse number 2, it says, "Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent." In other words, he was crying out to God day and night. And he hadn't seen any transition yet. He hadn't seen any victory yet, but he continued to cry out day and night. And he reminds God, he says, God, our forefathers, they trusted in you and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. And God, I'm expecting the same results in my life. Okay? I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't want to leave a legacy for my family of not trusting in God. I don't want to leave a legacy of prayerlessness for my family. So the other morning, it was a little over a week ago, I had one of those mornings where I was awake up extra early, and I knew, you know, that it had been a late night the night before we were able to fall asleep, and the alarm goes off at 5:30 of the morning, and I was already awake, and you know, I was having a conversation with my wife, and I said, "Baby, you can't survive on that little bit of sleep." And she held up her Bible and she said, "I can't survive without this." And so it's not an either or situation. We got to make some adjustments to that bedtime thing in order to make sure that she gets the rest so that when she gets up, she can feast on the Word of God and, you know, cry out to God. So during the most intense firefights that we've ever been in, those were some of the times of the most intense prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Okay? And we're crying out not just because we got a problem. We're crying out because we have a relationship with God. We walk in covenant relationship with Him. And so if we are under attack, this is one of the things I've been sharing with our congregation, is if we are under attack, God feels the same pain that you experience. If you're hurting, God is hurting. Do not buy the devil's lie that God doesn't care about you and He's so far away that He's oblivious to the reality that you're going through. Instead, you say, "You know what? I am going to continue to cry out to God. I am going to continue to put my trust in Him. I'm going to continue to lean upon Him, and my deliverer is coming." Okay? Verse number 5 says they. So verses 4 and 5 talk about everything that has gone on before. Can I encourage you to do something? And that is this: don't sanitize your testimony so much that when you are sharing it with your kids and with your grandkids, that they think that you were this absolutely perfect human being. Because they know better. You know, let them know about the times that you were in the fight of your life and you didn't know how you were going to come through, and then God came through at the end. Because at some point in time, they're going to be in the fight of their life. And if they thought, "Man, everything just was so smooth and silky in mom and dad's life," then they're going to think that there's something wrong with them. I want you to know that if you're facing opposition from the kingdom of darkness, that is not a sense that you're on the wrong track. That's an indicator that you are on the right track. If hell is not opposing the church, we might, you know, want to examine what we're doing, because we may not be doing anything substantial enough to impact the kingdom of darkness that He gives two hoots about us. So let them know about your struggles. Verse number 5 concludes and it says, they trusted in you. So we talked about this four-step process here. We're talking about the generations that have gone before us. They trusted in you. They leaned on you. They relied on you. They were confident in you. They cried to you. That's step number two. And they were relentless about it. They trusted in you. And both of those things said that they were delivered. Verse number five, they trusted in you and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. And verse number five concludes this way. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. They were not ashamed. That means they were not confounded. They were not ashamed. They were not disappointed. Today, I want to encourage you. Find somebody who can share with you the testimonies of what God has brought them through. When you have that opportunity to sit down with your kids and speak into their life and say, this is what happened. This is how we got to this point in our faith journey. It's because somebody took a step of faith and put their trust in God. And then they learned how to pray. They learned how to trust. And they watched God deliver them. They were delivered from addictions. They were delivered from persecution. They were delivered from destructive traits in their life. They were delivered from economic hardship. They were delivered, and they were never ashamed. Okay? I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the word of God. I'm not ashamed of the God of the Word. And no matter how much culture shifts, we do not have to be ashamed of what we believe in, because God is the one who got us through before. He got our predecessors before. He has a legacy of coming through and bringing deliverance. That deliverance doesn't always look the way that I want it to look. But I tell you, the Bible says, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. I tell you, whenever a child of God crosses the finish line, I celebrate, because I know this, the tempter has lost influence in their life. Sickness and disease and death, all of that has lost its influence. There is no more worry, no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more pain. They are in the presence of God. That is a wonderful, wonderful place to be. Don't be ashamed of Jesus today. We'll see you tomorrow right here on
Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
cannot do.